As I shared before, we are starting a new sermon series. This one is entitled Some Advice, because for the next 4 weeks, we will be visiting part of the pastoral epistles, which is 1st and 2nd Timothy, is what we will be looking at. Titus is also included in that. Paul is the writer, and he's writing to encourage these ministers in the beginning days of what will become Christianity. If you would, please join me in that letter to 1 Timothy, that first chapter, verses 12 through 17. I thank Christ, Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength because he considered me faithful. So he appointed me to the ministry, even though I used to speak against him, attack his people, and I was proud. But I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and without faith. Our Lord's favor poured all over me, along with the faithfulness and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is reliable and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the biggest sinner of all. But this is why I was shown mercy, so that Christ Jesus could show his endless patience to me first of all. So I'm an example for those who are going to believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King of the ages, to the immortal, invisible, and only God, may honor and glory be given to him forever and always. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I think amen is an interesting word. I've always been curious what it means. It means to agree. So after a prayer, when you say amen, it's like you're putting your stamp on it, your signature, that yes, I agree to that. And isn't it interesting how amen today was followed with quite a few? Paul said some really important words in here. Some words that I think a lot of us can relate to. Some advice. Past does not define you. Does somebody else need to hear that again? Your past does not define you.
Amen.
See, Paul, who we might have known as Saul, that's how he's introduced in the Bible. It wasn't a great name change. It wasn't that he became one person and became another. Think about your story, your journey in life. Have you always been called one name your entire life, from every person you met, from when you were born to now? I'm guessing not. I'm guessing you've had a lot of nicknames along the way. Names that are special between you and a couple people. Some are silly, some are flattering and kind, and some are not. Some that translated, some told stories of your life, whether it was marriage, adoption, divorce, letting go. See, our names kind of change with us because we're changing and growing. And those names weren't meant to be for everyone. I do not expect any of you to call me what my parents call me. I don't want you to. But when they say it, there's so much love and story and history behind it. That happens in life. The experiences, the history, they change us. But they don't define us. So Paul, who we know as the writer of the epistles, is his Greek name. Saul was his Hebrew name. So it'd be kind of like if an Andrew here went to France and they said Andre. That sounds different, but really is the same thing. So Saul is introduced in Acts 7:58. During a murder, basically. Stephen. Why is he significant? He was the first martyr for Christianity. He was the first one to die in the name of Jesus, for Jesus. Because he spoke about Jesus. That's why he was killed. See, that was the law. If you were to speak out against the Hebrew faith and rattle on about this fool Jesus, did that make any of you uncomfortable? If it did, it's okay. See, you're still supposed to be defending the name of Jesus too. Except we don't usually see it in our country or our time with someone holding the stone to stone us to death. But they will speak out in different ways. They might tell you praying's ridiculous. It's a coincidence. They might tell you Jesus is a mythological character. They might call Christianity a cult to your face. We share our faith. It is not our, we don't have to fight about it. We share it, we live it, and how other people take it. That's their journey. And hopefully they don't have a stone in their hand. But see, Saul is introduced not as one who is stoning Stephen. He's just there. But he has done so much for the faith at that point. He's mentioned because of his presence, of his authority, of his acknowledgement and agreement of what was happening. If you go to chapter 8, verse 1 of Acts, it opens with, Saul knew Stephen was about to be stoned and agreed with it. Paul gets a lot of work in the New Testament, right? We use his scriptures. We quote them as our beliefs. And this man did everything he could to destroy Christianity from the get-go. That's a lot. Amen. I used a World, it's Common English Bible. I used lighter language to describe when Paul says what he had done. But if you had looked in other translations, he claims, I am a blasphemer. Oof. Blasphemy in the Bible is no good. It is the sin of abomination. It is denying the Holy Spirit when you know the Holy Spirit exists. See, this is where it gets tricky. Because Paul will tell you, I'm forgiven because I was ignorant. I didn't know better. He was the one, he also called himself a persecutor. He was the one rushing into these house churches, pulling out women and men as fast as he could, as aggressively as he could, and bringing them to prison for their wrongdoings, for their sin, for their belief in Jesus, for talking about our Lord. Oh, can you relate to this moment? Maybe not that specifically, but that moment in an argument when you just know you're right. You just know you are, and there will be no giving it up. And you might get louder, and you might get feistier, and you just know you are in the right. By God's glory, you know you're in the right, shaking your fist in anger. And then have you ever had to admit you weren't right? Like you were caught in the moment, like you just were in the moment and feeling it, and then you walked away and you said, I'm not right at all. That was not right. And then you have to eat humble pie. Oh, is that not the most bitter thing you will taste ever? Going back to that person and saying, I was wrong. Paul was doing that over and over and over again. Did you hear how convincing he was? He didn't even have a stone in his hand at Stephen's when they stoned him. But he is introduced there. He is that powerful. He has done that much for them. They had that kind of respect that he was denouncing Christianity because it was the right thing. He just knew it to his core. Every time he grabbed a person roughly and brought them to prison. Every time he charged a person for speaking about Christ. And then he had to eat a lot of humble pie. As he writes these epistles, how often is he in jail? For the very reason he arrested people. He became the biggest speaker of all. For God the glory. Christ came because we were sinners. And I'm the biggest sinner of all. Paul, who stood as a proud person that they truly revered, stood saying, "Arrest me, because I believe in the power of Jesus Christ. I believe in the love and the grace of his message. I believe in him and his followers, and I think you should too." That's a big, mighty journey. But Paul reminds us the past does not define us. There are times you're going to say, "Jesus, I believe," and then there might be times you say, "Jesus, I don't." And that's when we start to get in that sticky land of blasphemy. But see, what happens is we're born into the Spirit. This is in John 3, the conversation with Nicodemus. What does it mean for an adult to be born again? And Jesus is like, "Oh, Nicodemus, of course you don't climb into the womb. That's ridiculous. But to be born of the Spirit. When Jesus came into your life, when you truly understood what that meant, did your life not change upside down? You might have been in tears. You might have been in a place of fear. You might have been in a place of anger. It might have been slowly. Please don't ever think that your story is not as important. There are people who I know who were addicted, slaves of sin. Life flipped upside down. They never went back. That's an amazing story. It's powerful. You can call it born again. You can call it a conversion, born of the Spirit. You might have had a slower story. That's okay. Maybe you always were in church and you don't even really know the moment that you knew Jesus was real because Jesus was always real. That's still a powerful story. But when you had that moment that you knew Jesus was real, like I'm talking like you're, "Oh my goodness, I am a horrible person, but God, you love me." Weren't the next couple days kind of glorious? Kind of powerful and amazing? All of a sudden, the sunsets were a little more beautiful. The birds sang a little sweeter. You even liked the people around you a little more. Yeah. Right? Like the whole world's just better. Oh, but that baggage. Ugh. It just follows us everywhere, doesn't it? Sometimes it's those relationships we know that aren't good for us. We know that though they call us friend, it's not. They pull us into a person we don't like to be. Or at least the people around us don't like us to be. That happens. That's what's happening when Paul's writing all these letters to the churches, that they were with Paul and they felt the fire and they're like, "Yes, Jesus is amazing. God's grace abounds." And then the ones who they'd kind of grown up with and that they had believed with would remind them of some of their traditions and they're like, "Well, what could it hurt for me to fall a little bit back into old patterns?" And you start to become that person you were. Here's the good news. God still loves you. I'm not saying God's feelings don't get a little hurt. That you're like, "God, we're best friends. I will shout your name everywhere we go." And then the next day, "Do you know Jesus?" "Well, I mean, I've heard of his name." "Oh, God? Yeah, he does some good things." And it becomes a little bit less and less. God still is shouting, "I love you. I know you. I care for you. I see these people are hurting you, and I want you to get away from them. Because I love you. I want the best for you. I don't care what your past was. I don't care if your past happened 5 minutes ago. I don't care if your sin was 30 seconds ago. I still love you. Your past isn't defining me. Defining you, sorry. But it's hard to let go of the baggage. See, I had this really cool skit planned for you all to see, because I know some of us are visual learners. And I was going to start on one side of the church with all my bags, like 4 or 5 pieces of luggage. And I was going to start the journey, and it was going to be heavy. And all of a sudden, you'd hear the name, Susie. And I'd look around. What? Susie. Stop. Who is that? And this big, beautiful baritone voice would say, it's God. And I'd say, God, you sound a lot like my husband. And he would respond, do you love your husband? Oh, very much. Does he love you? I sure hope so. Well, when I sound like love then, don't you think God's voice would sound like love? Amen. Yes, God. I'm going to ask you to do something. Anything, God. Drop the baggage. Oh, God. No. See, I need this for where I'm going. Where are you going? I don't know. Drop the baggage. But God, how will they know me? How will they know my scars? How will they know my experience? How will they know my wrongs? Drop the baggage. But God, I know this baggage. I'm not ready to pick up anymore. Let it go. Are you carrying some grievances with you? Maybe some of those grudges that were a little hard to let go? Oh, I know forgiveness is a hard talk. See, as humans, when we're wronged, we're hurt. And when we're hurt, we tend to get angry. And then sometimes our anger makes us sad. And sometimes then we forget even why we won't forgive them. But it's been such a part of our story for so long. If we let it go, will the hole be too big? Will we even know who we are? And I'm not saying forgiveness. Oh, you have to forgive. This is where it gets tricky. You have to forget enough to let it go. I'm not saying you're doing the forgiveness and saying it was okay that you hurt me or that you abused me or you did wrong to a loved one. But forgiveness is such a heavy bag. That bitterness, that resentment, that anger. And if you're going forward in the journey, if you're carrying all that baggage, how can you pick anything up? God didn't want you to pick up all that baggage, right? Some of it was some of our choice. And sometimes when we talk about baggage, we just assume it's bad. But sometimes it was really good. But God doesn't want us to live in the accolades either. Because you did something really, really good 25 years ago, that's not your ticket to heaven. But neither was the sin keeping you out. We're not earning miles or percentage points to get first class. God just wants you to accept the relationship. Can God use your past and your baggage? Absolutely. But when we hang on to it, when we say, oh no, I need this, God says, but I don't. That doesn't define you. I could care less about your baggage. I love you now. I loved you then, but I'm so much more interested in the now and where we're going. Isn't that a more beautiful place? Some of that is going to help you. And for another visual, I'd like to give you a Lion King. If you've seen the movie, Simba is the son who grows from a cub to the adult. And this is when he's about to return home, that he feels that it's time. And Rafiki, who's the baboon, comes up to him, and he carries a big stick. And Simba goes, I'm going to have to return, but I'm scared. I've ran from my past. And Rafiki, as a wise baboon, takes that stick and hits him as hard as he can in the face. And Simba goes, what was that? And Rafiki, in his wisdom, goes, doesn't matter. It's in the past. And he's like, but it hurts. And Rafiki's like, oh, yes, the past can hurt. But you have two choices. You can run, or he takes one more step back, gives a big ol' whip of the stick to the face, and Simba ducked. Ha! You learned. Oh, how God wants us to use some of that experience like that. Remember that moment of forgiveness that you received from me? How powerful to share that with someone else. See, your past doesn't define you. It's part of your story. It gets you from point A to point B. But how exciting to be in the moment now with God. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. You're going to feel inadequate. They're going to tell you you're too young. They're going to tell you you don't know enough. They're going to tell you to your face that it doesn't exist. But you know, and you believe. And that moment you had with Jesus, that defines you. And let me tell you, when Jesus called you friend, brother, sister, how it was with adoration and love. And Paul's carrying that same message. Trust me, none of you have done worse than I have. I specifically stood in front of everyone and said, Jesus doesn't matter. And then Paul was the one that we read the scriptures. Oh, Jesus is everything. Jesus is worth being persecuted over. Jesus is worth going to jail over. If I can just convince one person about the beauty of God's grace, that's my mission. Can you imagine God's using me, who was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a very prideful person who was all about Saul? But now I am an ambassador in chains for Jesus Christ. That is what defines you. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, this world convinces us we should hang on to burdens, that we should hang on to old names and old friends and old relationships, old addictions, old sins. And God, though they are part of our story, they don't define us today. God, how we seek that relationship with you, how we love you so, and how blessed and humbled we are when you tell us at our weakest that you love us and that we are worthy to be called yours. In your precious and holy name, amen.